And now we talk about voodoo. As a matter of fact, the Voodoo Doll Spellbook. Denise Alvarado joins us, and we'll be back with her in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. You're going to enjoy the next couple hours. Denise Alvarado is a New Orleans-born native Creole, raised in the voodoo and this culture. She has studied healing traditions from a very personal, professional, academic perspective for more than four decades. Author of numerous books and Southern Conjure and the first Hoodoo magazine, Hoodoo and Conjure. She's a root worker in the Louisiana Hoodoo tradition, a spiritual artist, and a teacher of Southern Conjure at Crossroads University. You've got a lot of titles, Denise. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, what is the difference between voodoo and hoodoo?
Well, voodoo is a religion, and hoodoo is the folk magic aspect of the religion. They kind of did a separation over time from the time Africans first stepped foot on these shores, due to all kinds of circumstances, sociopolitical circumstances. The magic and the religion pretty much separated for a time, and so now what we see is a religion, and then people who practice hoodoo, the magical aspects of that original religion without the religious aspects, if that makes sense at all. It's kind of confusing.
And when we talk about conjure or conjuring, we're talking about calling upon spirits primarily, right, in spell form?
Right. Exactly. Manipulating people, places, and things on a spiritual level.
All right. Now, with voodoo, what's the difference between the Creole-type voodoo and then the traditional African voodoo?
Well, first off, like I said, you know, voodoo is a religion. It did come from Africa, and it means spirit of God. Some people translate it as mysteries or the mystery. It's mostly about healing. African voodoo's primary emphasis is on ancestors, with each family of spirits having its own specialized priest or priestess, and those titles are pretty much hereditary. And so you might have a particular god, or you do have a particular god or goddess, like Mami Wata, who is the main goddess. Then there are priests and priestesses of Mami Wata. And then with Creole voodoo, now, voodoo from Africa came to New Orleans, and we have a distinct phase of it being in New Orleans from about the early 1700s to about 1830. The voodoo in New Orleans was pretty much like it was in Africa, but the difference was there was merging of different African cultures.
Okay.
And so there's differences even in, you know, in Africa. It's not just African voodoo, one blanket, you know, religion over the entire continent. The different regions are composed of different cultures and their own specific religious practices. But there's a lot of commonalities between them, but all of them being ancestral traditions, being primary. And then over time, so because, you know, there was the different peoples taken from different regions congregating in one area in New Orleans, there was all of these melding of different traditions.
Is Santeria different from voodoo, Denise?
Yes, it's an African-derived tradition. So, the roots are in African traditions, but it is different than voodoo in some different ways. It's the Creole part came in after the 1830s or so, and the difference there, what happened was, as I said, over time, you know, we had the blending of the different African cultures, which are primarily Senegambian and Congo cultures from Africa in New Orleans, And then over time, the Creole phase included other cultures. There was a loss of some of the African languages, and then there was the influence of the French and the Spanish, and different European cultures, all kind of, and the Native American cultures. I have to include them, absolutely.
Now, how did you get involved in this?
Well, I mean, it's the culture I was born into, so it's not really like getting involved in something. It's just being something.
You kind of evolved into it, huh?
Yeah, it's you're chosen to walk a certain path in life, and from this perspective. And when I was very, very young, I had an aunt who passed some things on to, down to me, specifically in the family. So from the age of 5, where I had my first formal lesson in how to communicate with spirits, that set me on my path.
Well, are you happy you went down that path?
Now I am, but it has not been an easy one.
Really? How come?
Oh, absolutely not. There's so much discrimination and, oppression.
And misinformation?
It's not an easy path. People don't take voodoo seriously. Say voodoo. And people don't take it. People don't know that it's a religion, that it's a legitimate religion. New Orleans voodoo, which is, we also call Creole voodoo. It's a legitimate religion. It's people really bastardize the term.
Do they think it's evil? Most people who don't understand it?
I find that probably the majority of people believe that there is some sort of dark, evil influence in it because of the media perspective.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you bring that up. I had asked a voodoo practitioner a long, long time ago about the voodoo dolls. I'm going to be curious to get your answer when we get into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, why do you stick pins in it? Are you really trying to hurt the person that doll supposedly represents? And she said, no, the media blew it out of proportion, that we used the voodoo dolls in voodoo to identify people, and the pins would keep their name on the doll. And, we did it to represent people in a good spiritual way. The media came by one day. They were doing a program on voodoo. They see these little dolls with pins stuck in it. And they took it the evil way. Was she correct? Was that what happened?
Yeah, I would say largely that's correct. Sure. But, I think we have to go back even farther, back to Africa and the use of nails in Kisi and the Bokio figures.
What's the Bokio figure?
These are fetishes. And, when you talk about a voodoo doll, you have to go back to, its origins, and a lot of people say, the origins are in Europe with the European poppet and witchcraft, and certainly there's that aspect of it, but I view voodoo as an African ancestral tradition, an indigenous tradition, and from that perspective, we go and we look at the Nkisi, which are magical spiritual objects that are activated through the use of nails and attaching things to these objects. So, and they are largely used for protection. So you'll see a lot of places, homes and temples and stuff will have these objects that they're created by one person and they're activated by yet another person. And these people are priests or priestesses of their traditions. So the pins, I see the pins as a remnant of that ancient practice, which is actually still practiced in Africa. It's not something in the past. It continues. It persists to today, but in the United States now, it's been relegated to the use of pins or thorns, fish bones, things like that, and so the pens themselves will activate the intention of the worker. So, one way to use a doll using a pen, for healing would be to say if you have somebody who's, suffering from a stomach ache, then you could, you would create a doll to represent that person and use the pen and stick the pen in the stomach region of the doll to activate healing in that
right.
area.
Almost like acupuncture.
Absolutely. That's a very good analogy.
Now, are the dolls vitally important to practicing with voodoo?
No. From the religious perspective, no. People who are practitioners of religion, devotees, they do not use voodoo dolls like that for the most part. Some do. That's mostly conjure workers. So conjure workers, people who practice hoodoo, are more likely to use conjure dolls or doll babies. They don't really call them voodoo dolls. The dolls that you'll see that the voodooists use are more like altar dolls. So they're like vessels that will hold this particular spirits or represent particular spirits that are petitioned in ritual or that they honor.
Now, with the dolls... Uh-huh. Tell me if, there have been any examples or cases of people using them and how they've used them.
People use them in all kinds of ways. I find it's really funny, but I find that sports enthusiasts love to use dolls.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the teams, people that are fans of teams, they tend to use them... to give their favorite team an edge on the game. So
reminds me of that Charlie Sheen movie. I can't remember it. He was a baseball pitcher, and they played with the Cleveland Indians.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the people there practiced some kind of voodoo. Sedeño, they called him, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he always prayed to a doll.
Right.
A voodoo type dolls. But why do they use it in sports? Is it like for good luck?
Oh, yeah. It's competitive. The most recent case, I don't know, you may have heard about it or not, is the Brazilian soccer team. They recently played Germany. I guess they both had a really good,
They lost.
Right. Exactly. But there was an occult shop owner who was totally into black magic from what they, from what it's coined according to the media. I don't know what kind of practitioner this person was, but apparently in his store, he has an occult store, and he had a big doll set up, and then he's got this little like table, and he's got all these little dolls around that he's placed spells on to have his favorite team win. He wanted the Brazilian team to win so badly, he bound the legs of a doll to represent Germany's top player so that the player couldn't, quote-unquote, run on the pitch. Didn't work.
Didn't work at all. It backfired on the guy, didn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And then there was this case, when was it recently? Oh, it was last year, at the end of last year, November or so. Pepsi, the company Pepsi, okay, they had these advertisements in Sweden showing... Cristiano Ronaldo voodoo doll from Portugal.
Right.
Okay, the World Cup playoff. Okay, so they had, I guess they didn't like him because they made a doll of him, and they had these photos, these advertisements of Ronaldo voodoo doll. They had one of him bound and gagged on a railroad track.
No.
Yes. In fact, I've got images of these on my Pinterest.
Jeez. Did they have a train coming at him or something?
No, they didn't. They just focused in on the doll laying on the train tracks, and then what they had another one with him, just full covered with pins, and of course, he was pretty upset about it. So they had to do a public apology.
I would think so. Jeez, you should have sued him. Well, you've written a book about the voodoo doll spell book, and we're going to get into the spells in the latter half of this hour. But why did you write a book about voodoo dolls?
Well, it all started when I ended up going to graduate school, and I had a huge flipping tuition bill to pay.
As everybody still does, I guess, right?
And I still do. You know, it's called a second mortgage. So I actually started making voodoo dolls to sell on eBay to supplement my income. And I had a back injury, so I had to. I was a therapist for like 11 years, okay? And I had a back injury. I had to end up quitting, and so I needed some extra money. And I'm an artist. I've always been an artist. So it's always been something I've done.
How much do people pay for voodoo dolls on eBay?
At the time when I first started years ago, it was like I got $10.
A doll?
Which is ridiculous. Yeah. Now I get like 120.
Wow.
Yeah.
How many of those? I don't want to get involved in your personal business. They sell?
They sell so well that I had to stop making them about 6 months ago so I can get caught up.
You need to have other people make them for you and set it up as a huge business.
You know, that's true, except then people don't, you know, people want me to make them. So,
well, you could bless them or something.
Yeah, I know. See, I need to go back to that African thing, right, where somebody creates and the other person activates.
Authenticated
them.
By Denise Alvarado. You know,
there you go. There you go.
That would work.
That's a great idea. You know, I have to remember that. Let me write that one down.
Good luck. Remember who told you that, right?
Yeah, I will remember.
Do people use the voodoo doll, Denise, as, you know, a predictor of the future or anything like that?
Good question. Nothing is coming to me right now in terms of it's being used as an oracle of sorts. I suppose it could be. I mean, anything could be used as an oracle if you set it up right. That's not something I've come across personally.
So they don't do that. So how does the voodoo doll work specifically? How does it work?
Well, voodoo magic, doll magic in particular, is based on a concept called image magic. And image magic is based on two basic laws. One is a law of similarity and the other is a law of contagion. Now, spells based on the law of similarity are also called sympathetic magic, so it's kind of the same thing. But it's based on the concept that a person can influence the well-being of another person by manipulating a doll in like fashion. So like produces like. Whatever you do to the doll that's made to represent a particular person, then the belief is that it's going to happen to that person. So if you injure or destroy a doll that represents an enemy, then that enemy is believed to be injured or destroyed. Or will be.
Is there a karma backfiring here with voodoo in that? Because we're going to get into some of these spells that you've got. And I mean, some of them you clearly spell out how to banish a woman who's trying to steal your man.
Yeah.
So, I mean, is there any karma, you know, backfiring from some of this?
The ethics of voodoo. I should say the ethics of voodoo. We're talking about the spells themselves, and we're really talking about hoodoo.
Hoodoo is the spells?
Yeah.
Okay, well, hold on, Denise. We're at the half already, so we'll swing right back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Denise. Do you have a story you can share about voodoo that you have watched or witnessed?
Sure. Can I back up a second, though?
Yeah.
Another question you'd asked me about that I just totally had I drew a blank on, which is about the using the dolls as predictors.
About the future. Yeah, we
yeah,
talked
telling
about
the
that
future.
Some time
and
ago.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why I totally blanked out, but I have a whole section in the book about about it, about the ancient dream dolls.
I know.
that were used by the Egyptians. So, yeah, I was wrong about that in my initial response. I don't know what I drew.
Well, you had a brain freeze. That
yes,
happened.
Exactly.
Simple as that. But anyways, what have you witnessed in terms of voodoo, voodoo practitioners?
A lot of different things. I've witnessed... various healings.
Don't have your brain go out on me tonight, girl. I need you for two more hours.
It's not going out on you. I'm just trying to get my thoughts together here. Okay, so I had one person, for example, who really wanted this woman. Okay, this is like the typical case. Okay, people come to me because they want another lover.
They want
back.
Something. Money, job, whatever.
Right. This person wanted a woman really bad. So
a specific one?
A specific woman. And so he hired me to create a doll in her likeness.
He had a picture of her or something?
I do, but I would never post it.
No. He had one.
Yeah. He had a picture. And so I created a doll in her likeness that was probably about 2 feet tall. It was big enough to where he could walk around with her and hold her and hug her and talk
take
to her.
Take her places and everything else.
Yeah, so that was basically what he was supposed to do with her. There was instructions about how to interact with her, how to talk to her, and various things. And
this is getting sick, Denise, but go ahead.
you have no idea.
I don't want to know.
But yeah, he ended up, it took about a month and a half of him working with this doll. I mean, he was so good about it. Usually people give up. Usually people don't want to do exactly what you say. And one of the things that, as workers, we tell our clients, do exactly what we tell, what I tell you to do. Because if you don't do exactly what I tell you to do.
Not going to work.
It's not going to work. And even then, it's not 100% guaranteed. So at least do exactly what I tell you.
Sure.
So he was somebody who followed the letter and ended up still, and this was 2 years ago, he's still in a very happy relationship with her.
He got her?
He got her. He also...
Does she know about the doll?
No.
She doesn't.
She doesn't know about
where
it.
Is the doll?
Well, she didn't at the time. I don't know if he's told her since then. I have not.
Where is it? I mean, has he got it in a closet or something?
That he was supposed... Well, it slept with him for a while.
Wait. you instructed him to sleep with the doll?
That's right. The doll was made to represent the woman that he loved and that he wanted. So he needed to interact with the doll as if the doll was her.
Did he take the doll to restaurants and places like that?
No.
Okay, so
no.
Nothing out in the public's eye.
Right. Just in the privacy of his home,
Maybe he took it driving or something.
Put it in his
car and had some fun.
I don't think he would have done that. I didn't instruct him to
do
that.
So at what time period did he get the girl?
It took about 6 weeks. 6 weeks to 2 months.
Now, did she even like him in the beginning, or this was like totally out of left field?
Oh, no, there was an attraction to begin with. They had kind of a falling out.
So they kind of knew each other.
They kind of knew each other, right. And that's the one thing about love work. There really needs to be, a connection already there in some sort of way, I find. Other workers may have different experiences, but I don't particularly like to do that kind of work.
So it's not like a guy could get a picture off of Facebook, show it to you, and say, I want her. He's got to know her, right?
Well, he could, but I'd tell him,
it's not
cool,
work.
Good luck.
So anyways, before the doll routine, was she giving him the time of day or what?
It was on and off for a while. So by the time he got to resorting to a doll and to resorting to voodoo, he actually had me do some financial work with him first. It was a trader.
Stock trader?
Yes. And he, wanted what's called a gree-gree.
What's that?
A gree-gree is a type of magic, it's actually a tradition that comes from Africa, from the Senegambian people, that we still carry on today within the New Orleans voodoo tradition. We kind of assimilated it into the practice, and it's a practice of blending different herbs and curios, animal, mineral curios together, and it's constructed in such a way to where it's a person wears a packet or carries a packet with them that's empowered to create this change, and they're also instructed to work that particular packet with words and prayers and things like that. So I made him one, and I'm really not lying. This is not typical.
No, I believe you.
This is not typical, but I made him one, and within 2 weeks, he made $250,000 on a trade.
Wow.
After that, he was totally sold on me. So
no wonder she went to him.
I know, exactly, right? Who knows? I mean, you know, there's so many variables in all this stuff. But after that happened, he was like, okay. And he came to me, like, totally not really sold on the voodoo thing. But he just wanted some, I guess he was curious about it. He thought, well, you know, what do I have to lose? So after that happened, he hired me to make this doll. And that, of course, took more work.
But he's having some obvious successes with this.
Yes, he's a total believer now because obviously it worked for him.
Now, does voodoo work with curses against people to harm other people?
Sure.
It does.
Oh, sure.
Wow.
Sure.
Do you do that too?
Okay, so this Come is on. The thing.
Back on this program, you know.
No, I know. But this is the thing with people who are effective practitioners, effective root workers. You got to know both sides of the coin, because we deal with both sides of the coin. We deal with humanity, you know, and people are, you know, we got some messed up people in the world. So.
Of course we do. Have you conjured up though some so-called evil curses?
I have to say I have worked the left-handed path. Yes, I have.
To hurt people or to screw them up or what?
Well, you know, in different periods of my life, I've done some things that I don't normally do.
You weren't proud of.
Yeah, well, you know, actually, as a worker, I'm pretty proud of because it worked. But
doesn't that come back and get you 10 times worse than what you sent out?
Hell no, not on the people that you work against. Okay, the thing is, it's got to be justified.
Well, what's justification?
So if I want a rapist to break his arm.
All right. Or okay, to fall off a cliff or something.
Right. So if I want, you know, if I want somebody to get revenge, I want revenge on somebody, it's justified.
Well, I'd call you a vigilante then.
That's where I would.
All right. What about some girl? She's having problems with another friend, a girl in school, and she wants her hair to fall out or something like that. Would you conjure up a spell for that?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't mess with stuff like that. Nah.
All right, that's good. But you will come up with spells that banish a woman who's trying to steal your man.
Well, I document things. I'm an anthropologist, too, so you got to understand. A lot of what I do is documenting, you know, history. A lot of what I do is document culture. So,
well, look at this one. Expedited spell to get rid of a person.
Mm-hmm.
Banish illness. All right, I can understand that. A bottle spell to make a person move.
Yeah.
Trying to get rid of a troubling ex-lover.
Right, right. These are all, in the hoodoo tradition, these are all very common types of works that people do.
Yeah, well, listen to this one you come up with. Spell to inflict pain.
A spell to inflict pain. Mm-hmm. Well,
scorned love. Fetish to make a person sick.
Yeah, yeah.
My God.
I know. Doesn't it sound terrible?
It does.
Well, what if you had somebody, you know...
You didn't sound like that kind of person when you started here.
Like I said.
disease doll to make a person sick.
That's not my spell, though. See, that's another one.
They're in your book.
They're in my book, but they're from, you know, old timers. That's an old timer spell.
Witch Queen's Revenge Doll.
Mm-hmm.
What the heck is that? Who do you hate doll?
Who do you hate?
Huh.
Okay, you gotta look at this like a couple of different ways, though.
No, okay? I'm fascinated by this.
So, people.
I don't want to get on your bad side.
People need release. Now you can have people release their angers and frustrations on a doll, or you can have them do it to a person. So, you know, there's a huge psychological component to this kind of magic. It's a very cathartic type of magic.
Can you accidentally kill someone with a voodoo curse? Not saying you would do it on purpose, but can somebody die from this?
Yes, people can. And let me just explain.
All right.
Okay. This has been the topic of academic study, actually, because, and it's the first real study about it started with, the most famous, I think, article that was written about it was by Walter Cannon. I believe it was in the 40s, and I actually posted the entire article on my Facebook page, The Voodoo Doll Spellbook, for people to read themselves. But he noted that he was a pioneer in biological psychology. He was noticing that there were cases of people dying from unexplained causes, and it became coined it voodoo death, because after studying these cases, he was finding that people were dying based on their cultural beliefs. So, for example, there was a Maori woman who ate a particular fruit that was forbidden. It came from a taboo place, and she died within a day of eating the cursed fruit. He found that death can occur from the cursing of a medicine man. Death can occur by ghosts. Death can occur from fear. Death can occur from a breach of taboo. Death can occur from amongst the Australian Aborigines in particular, but from a medicine person pointing a bone at you. Death can occur from the physiological responses to intense emotional distress.
Denise, can you pull back a curse once you've started it? What if you, like, change your mind all of a sudden?
Well, that's hard.
So once it's out there in the cosmos, it's difficult to pull back, isn't it?
It is very difficult to go back, and there are specialists who you really would have to go to have that happen.
But you can die from a bad voodoo curse. I'm convinced, for example, that some people have the ability, you know, when people die in their sleep,
yeah.
I think something's happened to them. I think it's possible for someone to enter someone else's dream and kill them in the dream, and they probably die of a heart attack in real life or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think voodoo might be able to work the same way.
It can. There are dynamics working on the spiritual level all the time, and particularly, you know, like I said, if a person is a believer, it can inform every aspect of their existence, including their death.
How do you fight it off? How does the person who is the victim, the recipient of voodoo, how do they build a shield around themselves to fight it off, or can they?
Sure. What we call uncrossing. Because in voodoo or in hoodoo terminology, we call being crossed. Cursing, you know, being cursed is being crossed. And so we would perform what's called an uncrossing, and then put protections in place. And usually what that entails in New Orleans voodoo is a spiritual bath. So a practitioner would make up a particular herbal bath that has herbs with specific qualities in it that removes evil influences, stagnant energy, things like that. So it would depend on the particular situation, but you would want to remove the evil influence, and then you could also reflect it back to whoever sent it to you. I'm a believer that most people who are crossed cross themselves.
Yeah, that's possible.
Based on the psychological principle of self-fulfilling prophecy. So if you believe something is a certain way, then it's more than likely going to manifest itself that way, or you attract that kind of energy if you believe it's strong enough.
Can you do a curse on yourself? I guess if it's good, it's called a spell, right?
Yeah.
And if it's bad, it's a curse. So can you do a good spell on yourself to try to better yourself?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's things you can do for self-improvement in all kinds of areas.
How do you do something like that if you want, let's say, a better career or you know, like the guy who wanted the girlfriend? How can you do that for yourself? Or do you have to go to someone like you?
Well, it all depends on the person. You know, it depends on the person. Not everybody's cut out to do these kinds of works for themselves. They don't have the knowledge or the skill. I mean,
right.
We really, you know, this is something, like I said, I started as a five-year-old, so I've been doing this all my life, developing my skill.
You were born for this, Denise.
I was born, right. I was born for it. I was born into it. So, but there are people who, you know, weren't born into it or and are drawn to it, you know, later in life, and they still have to develop their skill set. It's like any kind of, you know, field of expertise. You have to practice, and you have to do it, and you have to live it in order to be good at it.
How does it work? I mean, what are you tapping into to make this work? What's out there in the universe?
It's a co-creative process with the universal forces. So I need to tap into those energies that I want and need. If I want positive energies, I need to think that way. I need to surround myself with positive people. I need to make sure my environment is clean and clear of negative energy in the form of clutter even. Clutter is a big magnet for negative energy. It keeps you stuck. It's how you think, it's who you hang out with, it's the things you do, it's the words that come out of your mouth. Everything is part of co-creating your existence that you want. So, you know, it's a matter of changing your inner dialogue as well as your outer dialogue.
Denise Alvarado with us. Her website, creolemoon.com, is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. And we're talking about her work, The Voodoo Doll Spellbook. I tell you what, we'll come back in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM, and we'll take your phone calls with her about curses, about spells, and about voodoo as well. You would not believe some of the spells and curses that are in this book. Unbelievable. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.